have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 149 of We Have Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film and TV. I'm one half the podcast, Nicola.
And I'm co-pilot Chris.
And what are we going to be talking about in this episode then, Chris?
Well, we got Home of the Hulk, so we'll be talking about what we've been watching, doing, and that's about it since our last episode. And then we got our review, which is Dune.
Dune in cinemas now.
Dune.
I think it's Dune.
Like sand dune, isn't it?
Like sand dune, yeah. I don't know why they're going Dune. Is it just an American voiceover that's
Dune.
Like...
I don't know. I just naturally go to Dune for some reason. Dune.
Meet your doom. Okay, let's kick things off with Home of the Hulk then, shall
right.
we?
Right, yes,
what
do that.
What have been watching, reading and doing then?
So, watching TV, TV-wise, we've been watching The Usual Suspects on the UK television, haven't we?
Uh-huh.
So Bake Off and Strictly.
Yep. Do you have any favourites for Strictly yet? I think we talked about this last time. I don't think we had any favourites yet.
Well, Dan's was pretty good in the recent one.
What did he do again? Was it the Macarena? Or was that the
other guy? No, that was the other guy. I'm really glad he left because he was terrible. But
it was another terrible dad sort of disco dance, right?
Was it Hammer Time or something, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. He just lent into it. You know, he just fully committed to it and it was a lot of fun. So previously I didn't like him because he didn't really, it wasn't great, but I thought that one was a lot of fun. Who else?
The two guys are really good. I can definitely see them winning, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see anyone else winning above them right now, but we'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
Cool. And Bake Off?
Bake Off.
Very sad about last week's Bake Off.
Oh, Maggie.
She still kept smiling the whole way through. Yeah, spoilers, sorry. Yeah. Oh.
Must have seen it by now, surely.
Hopefully. Very sad. But I think it's funny, tonight, did I tell you it's German week?
The German theme? Week?
Yes. Oh. No, well, clearly it's a favouritism.
Yeah.
We all love Jürgen, but...
That's good. We can't have him going out, so let's,
true.
Let's let him stay.
Yes.
Do German week. Yeah, but I mean, Bake Off is not great, is it?
No, it's going a bit downhill, if I'm honest.
It's kind of, yeah, it's just not funny. The funnies aren't funny, so what do you do with that? Yes. Anyway, Squid Game is the big one.
Squid Game. It's not that theme tune at all. It just always springs to mind. Stingray?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. What do you? What did you think about Squid Game? Because this is insanely. There's been weirdly enough. Tangent slightly, there's been no marketing or anything for Squid Game, right? It's all been word of mouth, and like it's
just exploded, hasn't it?
It's been in the top 10. And it's now become the most watched TV show on Netflix, right?
Really?
I think it's surpassed like Bridgerton. And yeah, I think it is the most watched, which blows my mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting concept. I love the concept. And there's some interesting commentary on society's hierarchies, isn't it, and stuff. It's Korean, so you do need to watch it with subtitles, which can be a bit annoying if you're... Eating
or trying to do something else. We're trying to have dinner, don't we? And
so it forces you to pay attention.
Yes.
On the other hand,
you don't watch dubbed. Ooh, do, 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 do.
No. It's awful. Plus, I saw a clip of some of the dubbing. It's terrible. Yeah. It kept my attention, though, so it wasn't really a problem. But yeah, really interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, same as you. I think it's got, from the outside, it sounds like it's got a simple concept, doesn't it? So these people that are struggling money-wise, financial-wise, they go and join this game for a chance to win. How much was it? Like 40?
It was 45 billion won, which is around 36 million US dollars.
Damn.
So
okay.
You take off three zeros to figure out sort of approximately how much it is in US dollars.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, but along the way, they have to play these games and they're kids' games.
Mm.
But if you fail, you die, which is a bit of a twisted concept.
And then they sort of tout that as it's promoting equality.
Yes.
Because everyone's following the same rules. But it's not really, because there's still sort of two distinct classes. There's the people in the game and the people that run the game.
Yes. So there's an interesting commentary on class and also...
plebeians versus the patricians. You know, that kind of thing.
But at the same time, there's also different things going on as well. There's plenty of twists and turns. There's sort of clues along the way. And yeah, it's kind of, some of the reveals are very interesting. It can get quite emotional, actually. Yeah, I was surprised. There's a couple of episodes where
it's like, oh no.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. but yeah, it's just super gripping and amazing and just weird how we didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, I was a little confused by the ending. That, like, it wasn't difficult to understand or anything, but I just felt like his character suddenly changed a little bit, personally. And I'm trying to understand why he acted the way he did. Right. I won't spoil anything, but yeah, I really loved it. It's great, great stuff.
Yes, would definitely recommend.
Indeed. So, films then.
Oh, is that all we've been watching?
I think so. Okay. Can you think of anything else?
I finished Lucifer.
Okay.
Yes, the last season ever. And I must admit, I got a little bit emotional at the end. Okay. Yeah, I was quite surprised. But it was a lovely ending. It was one of those ones where they really thought about how everyone can have a good ending, a good, happy, ever after.
But it was saved by the fans, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So that makes sense. But it's going to be
for the fans.
It's going to be for the fans at that point, isn't it?
So. But yeah, it was very, very good.
Cool. Anything else? I mean, I can't think of anything else.
I don't think so. I mean, there's a couple of things that are out, but I just have not had any time at the moment with London Film Festival.
Yes. So we've watched a few films.
Okay.
Dune, obviously. We'll talk about that one.
Dune.
But Dune, sorry. That's going to keep happening.
Yes.
Petite Maman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a French film?
Yes. Céline, I can't pronounce her last name. Scamamaman. I butchered it and I know that's wrong. I'm so sorry. But she did Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which was a very sort of arty, I was going to say arty farty, but it was a very good film, very emotional film. And it was lovely. But yes, French. So what did you think about this one?
Well, okay, let's explain kind of what it is, I guess. So it's a young girl and her grandmother's just died.
Yes.
And it's sort of her coming to terms with
the
loss of her grandmother and kind of the emotions of herself and the people around her as well, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that sort of emotional growth and
yeah, the family sort of visit their childhood home to sort of clear it out and things, and they uncover wallpaper, wallpaper that hasn't been decorated behind the fridge.
Decorating around the dresser or whatever.
Yeah. Plastic. And just sort of kind of delve through time.
Yeah, it didn't feel out of place. It didn't feel like it was trying to do some sort of weird time.
No.
Sort of story. It was just sort of...
It felt quite natural. And,
yeah, it kind of felt like the girl was just exploring her... kind of her self-awareness and the awareness of the people around her and stuff like that. So, yes.
Probably not doing a very good job of explaining this.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty clever and pretty nice. Just a nice... And it had kind of a nice vibe around it, even though it's kind of dealing with difficult subjects like death and depression and stuff. It felt like she was quite mentally mature. Is that the right way of putting it? And she dealt with it pretty well. So, yeah, I really liked it, actually. I would say it was a good film and worth a watch.
And only 70-something minutes. It was, like, a perfect time, I thought. Well, maybe I could have done a little bit more, but it was...
70 minutes. That's just very short for a film.
Very short, but very nice. Very concise. The point. I think it got what it wanted to say across and in a very lovely... It was like a bit of a hug in a mug, really, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah. So we also watched a film called Lamb.
This could not be any different.
It's bizarre. I mean, I initially watched the trailer. You showed it to me, didn't you?
Yes.
And the whole thing just looked absolutely ridiculous. Like, I just looked at it and I was like, I'm not watching that. But somehow you managed to make me watch it. And so it's a supernatural horror with Noomi Rapace in it. I think once you kind of understand the concept that it's sort of based on an Icelandic folktale, you can kind of suspend your belief a little bit. And I think then it kind of starts to be a little bit more okay, but it's still very out there. Like, it's bizarre. So I don't know if we can say much about it.
I would probably go into this not really knowing too much, actually.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess just know that it's an Icelandic folktale type thing, so it's going to be a little bit...
like an allegory about nature and humans and how they treat nature and how nature sort of takes its revenge.
Reclaims.
Yes, indeed. But it's set in Iceland, and it's absolutely stunning. I've got to say that. Set in a farmland. There's sheep, obviously, involved, because it's called Lamb. And it's about the, obviously, the farmers that live on the farm and how they've lost children in the past. And that comes into play into what happens.
Indeed. Yes.
But how would you rate that though?
I don't know. I'm kind of neutral on it. I think it was fine. I think it was a bit weird for my taste. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I think there was a lot of tension around animals, which I don't like at all.
That's
so true. I was like, oh no, is it going to be okay? So I was on edge for a lot of the film. But I kind of liked what it said in a way. But the ending was very sort of like, oh, it's stopped there. Okay.
I feel like a lot of films do that now. Yes. It kind of annoys me, to be honest. Like, just put an ending in your film, please. But yeah, I think it was all right. It's a bit strange. Probably wouldn't watch it again. So do with that what you will. I don't know.
That's coming to Mubi if you actually want to watch that after what we've just said.
I think we've really sold it. what else did we watch? We saw Venom.
Venom.
Eddie.
What did you think of Venom? Let there be carnage.
Right, well, I actually really liked the first movie. I know most people didn't.
I think it's because you went in knowing that everyone didn't really like it.
Yeah, I expected it to be really bad, and actually I thought it was all right. It had a decent enough story, and I enjoyed the characters and the funnies in it and stuff. That was the first one. So I was looking forward to this, but...
It was fine, right?
It was fine. I mean, I just feel like it wasn't given that much love, and I found it kind of uninteresting, and I didn't find the funnies that funny this time. Mm-hmm. The funnies weren't funny for me, particularly. And the villain was kind of boring. He was kind of the worst kind of villain, where it's just a psychopath. You know, how do you connect to that in any kind of way? Like, there's just not much depth.
It was all very stock villain, right? It was.
Yeah.
I felt like the film was very cut and paste from a lot of other sort of films. Like, it just felt like it was ticking the boxes, and
It felt like old school superhero flick to me. Like,
completely
pre Iron Man, pre Marvel.
Not pre-Marvel, no. Pre-Iron Man, I know.
Pre-Iron Man. Yes. You know, recently I feel like a lot more work's gone into giving villains extra kind of interesting backgrounds and exploring more interesting and wide-scale stories and stuff like that. But this felt small and uninteresting, personally.
Okay.
I'm kind of surprised Tom Hardy wanted to do it again, to be honest. Except for the fact that maybe he's contracted to do it in order to do the next movie, maybe? Which might be bigger.
Yes. The post-credit scene might come into play.
Yes, that is what I felt. And then it just kind of confirms that perhaps this was just literally a stepping stone.
It felt like filler, which is a shame because I did like their relationship. It did feel like a sort of old married couple in a way.
Maybe,
And it was quite funny. And they did have a little bit of breakup. And it was fine, basically.
It was fine.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, really. That's all we've seen, isn't it? I mean, you've seen a load of films.
I've seen a ton of films.
London Film Festival.
Yes.
So, do you want to go over any of those? Or?
I can tell you what my favourites were.
Go for it.
If that's any good. Well, bear with. I'll get them up, shall I?
Go for it.
Okay, I watched 12 films. I'll super quickly run through them. So, I watched whether I like them, whether you should watch them, basically. That's on again. Get it quick out of the way. So I watched what was that one called? Phantom of the Open. It was absolutely lovely. Mark Rylance and Sally Hawkins. Fantastic. It's like Eddie the Eagle. It's like a sort of feel good, heartwarming thing about sports. The guy who is basically said to be the worst golfer ever.
Sure.
And how he kept sneaking into the Open, and it's just so funny and quite heartwarming, and an interesting commentary on class as well in golf, because that's quite bad, actually. I didn't realize how snobby they were.
I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. That was my favorite one. And then we had The Harder They Fall, which was a cowboy western reinvented with an all black cast, and it was fantastic. I know a lot of people said Tarantino, but to me this was so much different. Women had some great roles as well, and the action was fantastic. The cinematography, the editing, the soundtrack. I just love this one. My second favourite, King Richard. Really love this new Will Smith film about Serena and Venus Williams and their dad, and how their dad was so devoted to raising them to be champions, and also an interesting class story there. And it was just a lovely sort of underdog tale again. Really enjoyed this one from what I saw, because I had to rush out at the end, which is a shame. Belfast, really liked this one. This is a Kenneth Branagh film, you know, who did Thor, and there was a little Thor comic in the sort of the little boy was reading it, and it was basically about, you know, the troubles in Belfast between Protestants, Catholics, told by like in the view of a child and how he grew up. Jamie Dornan was in it, not Julie Walters, the one who played M in James Bond, Judi Dench. Oh, she made me cry. I was a bit of a puddle when I came out of this. Loved it. It was a little bit sad. Petit Maman. Already talked about this. Mass. This is very, very good. It's basically about the two parents of children who've been involved in a school shooting in America. And very, very tense, very, very emotional, but the acting is fantastic, so very good. Last Night in Soho, Edgar Wright film. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get these so fast. Edgar Wright film, horror, sort of. Disappointed in the horror. Sorry. It changed in a third act as well, from like psychological horror to like slasher, and it sort of lost the impact, I think. But obviously, being an Edgar Wright film, soundtrack was phenomenal, editing was great, cinematography and the performances were fantastic as well.
Yeah, I love him as a director. So.
Yes, the style was there, just not quite the substance, which is a shame. Wrong's Gone Wrong. This is a new, from a new animation studio based in Britain, which is good, in London. Locksmith Animation, I believe it's called. So people who previously worked for like Pixar and Disney and also Aardman, they were like, we can do this. We don't need them.
Start our own.
Yes, exactly. And this is a really sweet sort of kids animation, very much for kids, I would say. And very much in the same ilk as Mitchell's versus Machines, sort of like, you know, tech, when tech goes wrong, are we obsessed with tech? Sure. Yeah. And common then, you know, yes, connections with people rather than tech. Very nice, but very surface level.
Sure.
Lamb, we've watched this already. Talked about it already.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was a bit kooky. Wild Indian, I mean, not my ball, really. French Dispatch. Dispatch?
French Dispatch.
French Dispatch. Wes Anderson. I really thought I would like this. I did not.
Interesting.
Which was a shame. It was weird. It was so disconnected. So it was basically about a magazine, newspaper thing, publication, we should say. And it delved into different articles from that publication.
Sure.
So it was like one about travel, and then one about this news piece, and then another one about art, and they just didn't gel. And but the overall story was interesting, and it was just weird. I wasn't feeling it. And I normally really like Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, his signature style was there. So if you enjoy that, as well as like The Usual Suspects, you will like this, I'm sure you will. And it's out this week. Cool. And Spencer, which was the Kristen
Stewart.
I was going to say Kristen Palfen. Kristen Stewart, Diana story.
This looked awful.
Did not like this whatsoever. Everyone loved it.
I don't get it.
No, I haven't
seen it, but I saw the trailer and the trailer looked terrible.
I mean, she was very good. Okay. And there were some good performances from Timothy Spall and, again, Sally Hawkins, but not for me. I'll leave it there. And that was my roundup from London Film Festival. Woo-hoo! Hope you enjoyed it. I hope that was fast.
That was pretty quick fire. Yeah, okay. Good stuff. That's it then for films.
Yes.
Books. Did you read any books in this?
I am very close. So close to finishing June.
Okay. So, I have to read that after you.
Part three. Yes.
Nearly completely finished it.
But there are some spin-offs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
exciting stuff. I haven't read anything, so we'll move on.
You've been reading loads of D&D manuals.
Yeah, so that goes on to doing. So we're playing nice thingy there.
Segway.
That's the one. We've been playing our D&D campaign with Nate Nurchat and his other half, Rebecca, and the Geek Stalkers.
Mm-hmm.
And last week's session was excellent.
It was so much fun. Yeah.
It went to too quickly. And so my character's a wild magic sorcerer, and he accidentally cast Levitate and ended up on the roof. That was a fun moment.
As you do. Out of control.
Yeah, I love that.
Wild magic is chaos.
Chaos. We fought a few things on our way to the keep.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting stuff.
Had to rescue some civilians.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
I cast Moonbeam.
Oh, yeah. New spell, Moonbeam. That was pretty cool. That's fun.
And I became a bear again, of course.
Of course. Cast awesome spells and then become a bear.
Yeah.
Love it. I finished painting another miniature. This is like a salamander warrior type fella bust thing that I found on Etsy. Kind of cool, I like that. And then, yeah, that's about it, really. You went to some London Film Festival screenings, as we've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Wrote for a new publication, Sci-Fi Now, if you want to, not a new publication, but for me.
Yeah.
A new byline. If you want to go and check out, I reviewed Last Night in Soho and Wrong's Gone Wrong.
Very cool. Yeah.
I think that's pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything.
Okay, so shall we go on to Dune?
Dune?
Dune.
We are House Atreides. There is no call we do not answer. There is no faith that we betray.
Smile, Gurney.
I am smiling.
The Emperor asks us to bring peace to Arrakis. House Atreides accepts!
So Dune hits UK cinemas Thursday 21st of October. This is directed by Denis Villeneuve, who's previously done a good couple of other sci-fi films, epic, emotional sci-fi. So you've got Arrival and Blade Runner 2049, which very sort of in a similar vein,
yeah,
I would say.
You can tell that he's got some experience with those kind of high concept, like large-scale movies.
Mm. But with lots of heart at the same time. Mm.
Indeed.
But the human condition... I would say, maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
So the synopsis is, featured adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction novel about the son of a noble family entrusted with the protection of the most valuable asset and the most vital element in the galaxy. And this features absolutely tons of stars, doesn't it? So you've got Timothy Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, Stellan Skarsgård, Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem, Dave Bautiste, Chen Chang, David Damasdalch, I can never say his name. Plenty of people. So it's a very star-studded cast.
Indeed.
So, yeah. Coming in and going out.
Yes.
What were your initial thoughts, Chris?
Right, well, I've never seen the previous Dune adaptation.
I have not, actually.
You haven't?
No.
Either. So,
David Lynch, right? I knew it was in it, apparently.
Really?
And Sting.
Maybe I need to watch it now. Mm. But I'd never seen it, so I didn't really have any kind of expectations or anything going in.
Preconceived notions.
Indeed, indeed. I knew it was sci-fi.
Yeah.
I knew the basic concept of the story. I knew about the spice and everything.
Yep.
Spice life. And I was aware that it's like big scope and everything. Like it's big sci-fi.
Yep.
But I didn't really know what to expect other than that.
Okay.
And then coming out, it was an experience.
That's one way to put it.
Just like the concepts, scale, visuals, atmosphere, blew me away, really.
Mm.
I'm not sure I took my eyes off the screen. I don't know if that's true. But yeah, I would say the mood is a little bit dark in terms of bleak. It's very bleak in places and hopeless. And that's not really my taste in a movie usually. But it's just so incredibly good that I was just glued to it. So, yeah, that's what I think. Those are my thoughts going in and coming out. What about you?
Okay. Well, I rushed to try and read this before I watched it, right? I got so close. But
you didn't have to read all of it, though.
No, I didn't. I think you'd have to read chapter one? No, part one.
I think there's going to be two movies, right?
Yes.
That was the idea. So I don't know how they quite split that amongst three books.
Yes. But yeah, I knew how sort of seminal and influential the novel was, obviously, had a lot of influence on Star Wars and Wheel of Time and a couple of other things like Stargate. Lots of sci-fi things, basically, really. So I was really intrigued. Like, I don't know why I hadn't read it before, but reading it, I was like, poof, this is very dense.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, but it's there's a lot to it.
It's one of those, isn't it?
That's, yes.
Yeah.
For sure. So I was thinking, how the hell do you adapt this? But obviously, with Denis Villeneuve.
Denny.
I know personally. I after seeing Blade Runner 2049 and Arrival, I kind of knew where he was going to go with this. So yeah, going in, I was a bit hesitant, but obviously really excited about it as well. And then coming out, I just was blown away. And I can completely agree with you about the sort of, it kind of left me feeling a little cold at times. Mm. But I think that's the actual story. Yeah. That's not the, you know.
It's not the movie. It's not the creation of the movie yeah. that's doing that. It's like, it's literally the story. But
yes.
I mean, usually that's not my type of story that I like. But I mean, it works so well that you can't, you know.
Well, should we talk about story while we're...
Let's talk about performance characters.
Oh, okay.
Yep, let's
okay.
do the normal thing.
Throw things out the window.
Throw the structure out the window, Nicola. Okay,
sorry.
So I've broken it up into like the different houses and stuff.
Okay. Very Game of Thronesy. Well, no. Game of Thrones was very Dune-y.
Yeah.
Yes. Because yeah, everyone lines. Forgets that this came out in like the 60s, right. I believe it was. So when everyone was like, oh, this is so much like Star Wars, or it's so much like this, and you're like, no, they were like that.
Flip it, reverse it, guys.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you got House Atreides, Timothée Chalamet.
Yes.
As Paul Atreides.
Hmm.
Hmm. He kind of, his character is somewhat of a puppet, isn't he, I guess?
Yes.
And he is kind of,
I don't know how much to say, isn't it? Because he's a very interesting character to sort of delve into, but he's not the most interesting. There's people behind him that are more interesting, I would say.
Yes.
Yes.
And, like, he's important.
Yes.
In terms of, like, he's part of the house. He's, like, heir to the throne, essentially.
Yep.
Right? But he's obviously not the main guy. He kind of finds his voice as the movie progresses.
Yes.
You know? So,
yeah.
But then we have to question whether he's like, whether it's actually real, whether he's like really progressing, or whether it's actually his own voice, or if he's being controlled and still puppeted in some kind of way. You know? But it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. He's a very interesting character because, I mean, in the book, you get a lot more insight because it's in a monologue, basically narrates most of the story. So you get a lot more sort of introspective about what's going on with him and things that are going on there. Okay. I try not to say too much here. So I can understand why people felt a little bit disconnected to him, especially at the start, where you're still sort of trying to warm to him, and he's a bit sort of precocious in a way. You know?
His character definitely grows.
Yes, for sure.
I think the idea is that he's
quite naive at the start, and quite young, and
yeah.
He gets kind of thrust into the situation. He has to sort of adapt to it, and things click into place along the way.
Indeed.
I would say
very well acted as well. Then we got Rebecca Ferguson as Lady Jessica Atreides, the mother. So she's a bit mysterious and stuff. She's got some ties to the Bene Gesserit.
Yep.
Is that correct? And she's like clearly important, but you're not quite sure how. It's like, what's going on here? You got any any insights into that?
Yeah, I just find her so fascinating. I think she's the most interesting character and possibly the most important. Everyone always goes on about Paul, but I very much like Lady Jessica because there's a bit more to her, really. I think she's sort of stuck between sort of two worlds. So she's obviously the concubine. I don't know if you could say that anymore. The lover of the Duke. She's got a son, but she's also part of this religious sort of sect organization called the
Bene Gesserit.
Probably not saying that right, but yes.
Gesserit.
Bene
Gesserit.
Yes.
I don't know.
But that order is very interesting. And she's probably the most powerful out of all of them for the majority of the film.
Interesting, yeah.
So, yes, I think she's a wonderful actress anyway.
Yep.
And she just sort of steals the show for me, I think. Yes.
That's cool. That's fair. You got Oscar Isaac as Duke Leto Atreides. Mm. So he's like the head honcho of the Atreides family. Yes. And he plays a sort of stoic leader.
Very Ned Stark-esque, right?
Yeah.
His characteristics. So,
like duty to his house and the emperor and everything. And that's like the most important thing. And he'll follow commands to the letter.
He's very regal as well. Like his beard and he's gone a bit peppery, hasn't he? And yes.
Got that strong leader vibe for sure. Yeah.
But yes, he's honourable, stubborn. He doesn't listen to his better judgment. He thinks it's a trap, but does he do anything? But no, the honour.
The honour of yeah. You got to do what you
must do his duty.
Emperor, Yeah, they're all great. So, I mean, I don't know if we can really talk too much about performances because they're all great. But
yeah. Do you have any other highlights, would you say?
For his character?
For the characters, or you?
Like Jason Momoa and Josh Brolin, I wanted to mention. Yes. So we got Jason Momoa as Duncan Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting name. Yeah, I feel like he's a really interesting character. He's sort of somewhat of a joker, but he's also very loyal. Like he's kind of like the opposite of, well, not the opposite, but he's Josh Brolin's character is very loyal as well, but he's much more kind of stoic, serious and stalwart. Yes. You know? So they both played their characters brilliantly.
Yeah. I think for me, Jason Momoa is possibly one of the highlights, as well as Lady Jessica and Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah, he's great.
He does kind of steal it at times, isn't he? He's just got this like cheeky charm, and you really want to him, and he's got funny.
Charisma, isn't he?
Exactly, and he's such a good fighter, and the fighting style he has is fantastic, and it rivals one of their enemies. And there's more you can dig into there. Yes,
freaking ninja.
Indeed.
Okay, let's move on to House Harkonnen. Yep. These guys are terrifying.
Yeah, they freaking float. What is with that?
So House Atreides feels very familiar and like very earthly.
Yes, it's very
almost British. Or
I think their planet is sort of based around Norway, but their house name is Greek.
Yeah, I read something about them being based on like ancient Greece or something.
Yes,
but like the location, very European, and stuff feels very like Scotland or something, Norway or something, so that's interesting. But yeah, the Harkonnens come across as completely alien, like just terrifying.
I mean, it looks like the set design and stuff was lifted from Alien or what the prequels called Prometheus. Very dark and very out of this
guy
world.
Called that, like H.R. Geiger, is that the guy that did the art for,
I think so,
Alien? Yeah, it's got some of that vibe.
Yeah, completely say.
So you got Stellan Skarsgård as Baron Vladimir Harkonnen.
He's kind of unrecognizable in a way, right?
This is a great performance. He's so sinister and inhuman. It's like, it's weird. It's weird. It's disturbing.
Completely.
In a really good way. Like, it's so convincing. Yeah, I love it. And you got Dave Bautista as Beast Rabban Harkonnen.
So his nephew, I believe.
It's his nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. He comes across as an absolute badass, but he still seems like he's afraid of the main guy. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Like, it's
I'm sure you could probably completely, you know, wipe him out, and yet you're still scared of him. It's there's a lot.
You're never sure.
There's a lot of manipulation going on in this, and a lot of things behind the scenes which are intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Then we got the Bene Gesserit. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but. One of the earlier characters that comes into it is Charlotte Rampling as Reverend Mother Mohim.
Yes. Now, these are the puppeteers.
Yeah, it's cool. I love the idea of that. Yeah, she's an incredibly unsettling character as well.
Yes.
She's just like,
put your hand in here. Why would you do that?
No.
Just no. Yeah.
Terrifying as well, but in a different way. But it's great. Very, very cool.
Can't really say too much about that order, can you?
No, I can't give too much away. So we'll move on. We got the Fremen as well. These are the guys that live on planet Arrakis, which is the planet which is the wealthy planet because it's got all the spice.
Yeah, but they are not wealthy.
Right.
There's a terrible... Obviously, it's quite an allegory for, obviously, the Middle East, oil.
Yeah.
And everyone wants what happens with that? Well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, a natural resource which is being mined for profit and they're being exploited, basically. Yeah. They're trying to get their planet back. So there's a bit of a war between them and the Harkonnens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Zendaya as Chani.
Yes. She's hardly in it, really. But yeah. Then again, it's the same in the books.
Sure. She's a very strong female character.
Yeah.
She's not afraid to say what she thinks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't really know too much about her. So, like, I'm not super clear on who she is yet.
She appears in a lot of dreams, though, doesn't she?
Interesting. Yeah. Need to get the next movie so we can see more of her. Then we got Javier Bardem as Stilgar.
Yes.
Yes. Again, a bit of a hard ass, some of the other characters. But yeah, he's kind of set in his ways and he doesn't suffer fools. And yeah, he's an interesting character as well.
Yeah. We thought it was funny, the sort of culture clash and how obviously they must respect water living in the desert.
Mm.
So he spits at the Duke and then they're like, Gurney's like, what are you doing? How dare you? And it's like, no, this is a real sign of respect.
It's actually respect. It's weird. Yeah. Mm. It's interesting how those kind of cultures clash like that. It's good stuff.
Definitely.
Cool. That's all I wanted to say for characters, really. Shall we move on to Blonde?
No.
First thing to say is it's just like a massive scale thing. Like they mention the sort of interplanetary trade and politics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like at one point they allude to how much money it costs to send a ship to Caladan. Caladan? Yeah. So you get this sense of how big everything is. And
so basically everything relies on spice as well, because that is what allows interplanetary travel.
Okay.
So that's why everyone's after it, because then they can travel around space.
Yeah, and the fleets of ships and everything as well. There's just incredible like scale to everything.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, very Star Warsy vibe from the ships and things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it starts off quite subdued. It's like, even despite all the wealth around and all the ships and stuff, everyone seems kind of like, life doesn't seem easy, which is interesting. And then I guess that's due to politics and factions and stuff and all that sort of infighting and everything.
Yeah, it's a very heavy political drama, I would say, at the start.
Yeah, they all seem to be sort of in competition with each other, the houses.
Yes, so again, very Game of Thrones, houses warring over sort of the throne, but the throne is Arrakis and spice. Mm-hmm. I would say,
would you say the emperor is kind of pushing people's buttons and stuff?
Oh yeah, completely. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's actually like stoking the fires.
Yes,
that's interesting. Yeah, and there's then some larger kind of ideas going on with the Bene Gesserit and the Imperium as well, and kind of who's pulling the strings and stuff. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Won't say too much, obviously. Obviously, that will be clear from if you read the books and things, but obviously I haven't, so.
They very much just hinted it, I think, and they start to delve into it, but not too much.
Okay. Yeah. So the tone does darken, gets pretty bleak there at a certain point, but I think we're left with optimism and hope by the end of the movie, so that kind of brings it back around for me. makes it manageable.
Okay.
I don't know what I mean by that. And we learn more about Paul and Jessica Atreides,
mm-hmm.
and the Fremen stuff sort of towards the end there, and see their characters expand and unfold a bit. It's kind of fun. So, yeah, I'm excited to see more of the Fremen and Arrakis and stuff. I want another movie, please.
Yeah. I mean, the story is so dense. Like we said before, with Foundation, it's hard sci-fi, right? So if that's not your bag, please don't see this. Don't waste your time. It's 2.5 hour runtime. It's very, very precise pacing, deliberately paced to set up so much world building.
Yep.
And I can understand if it does leave you cold and it's 100%, not for you.
Yeah.
But
it's not going to be for everyone.
No, but there's so much that it explores. As you said, there's obviously the political drama, which unfolds, again, like Game of Thrones. There's motivations, there's a lot of manipulations and playing the strings. And the interesting twists and turns, how they unravel, does very much keep you gripped, I would say. And yeah, there's a lot of sort of weighty themes explored as well, isn't there? Like exploitation, environment, especially when you get to Arrakis. Yeah. And religion, culture.
Very cool. Shall we talk about visual soundtrack score and stuff?
Oh, do.
Start with.
Do you go on?
Sorry. Let's start with soundtrack and score.
Okay.
So it was a score by
Hans Zimmer. Woo! Yes.
Pretty epic, as to be expected.
Indeed. I mean, he scored Blade Runner 2049 and this somehow manages to stop it, because do you remember when we watched Blade Runner 2049 in the cinema and the speaker on the wall like crackled because the bass was that, you know, it was just so ethereal and it did. That score was crazy. And this, he just somehow manages to top it, I would say. There's primal female vocals, isn't there? And beating drums. And it feels very...
Yeah, it's interesting. Something that's supposed to be so futuristic, it does have that very primal vibe to it. And really gets to the core of like humanity. And
there's heavy. Space bagpipes as well. Thrown into the, into the mix.
That's a good bit. Enjoyed that. Visuals?
This is, I would say, I know everyone says this when they see a film, but I would probably try and see this on a bigger screen as possible, because a lot of it is filmed in IMAX and just the size and scope of the actual shots are just insane. It's just so immersive. And I don't think you can really replicate that if you like watch on HBO Max. I mean, I can completely understand in certain situations. But yeah, I just...
The scope of it requires a large screen almost, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, some of the shots as well, as you said, with the fleet of ships and just the vastness of Arrakis and... Yeah,
there'd be times when you're looking at a massive shot of a planet and there'd just be like a small ship going.
Yeah, and then so when you see
the kind of thing you might miss on a small screen, perhaps.
Exactly. And when you see the worms as well, when you finally see them, it's just, and they look so tiny in comparison. It's just insane. Yeah. Like, just the scale is off the charts.
Yes, the cinematography, color grading, overall look and feel.
Yep.
It's all just amazing. And there's a lot of like small things that I really liked as well, like the personal shield things are really cool.
Yes,
that just, that was a great effect. Dragonfly looking helicopter type things,
ornithopter I think they're called.
Ornithopters.
Yes,
that was, they looked believable cool, to me. They looked cool, looked like they might actually fly. Ships, like I mentioned before, Star Warsy kind of vibes. Sandworms, that's also interesting and cool.
And the still suits were, I thought, really well done, really well realised from the book. Looked like they could work, so that was very believable. I love how like the separate homeworlds and planets had completely distinct looks as well, so you could quickly distinguish between where that they were as well. I think that was
really helpful, because on something that's as big scale as this, it's nice to have easy delineations between things, because especially like often... there'll be names of a planet and another planet that are very similar. I feel like Foundation had that.
Yes.
There's one, the main planet, but also the like outer reaches planet, similar names, and they get them mixed up. So, yeah, it's clever when they do those kind of delineations to help you just notice the difference.
Also, the fighting styles, as I said before, I thought that the battles were really well staged as well, and the action. And I really enjoyed that. It took a while to get to any action, didn't it? Yep. I think it would probably say the first hour or 90 minutes, it was just setting the stage, putting the main players on the board and stuff. But once you hit Arrakis, then shit got real, you know?
Real fast.
Yes.
So, how would you rate it? What's your verdict? How would you rate it?
Well, my verdict on my review, if you want to go and check that out, I gave it 5 stars, so probably 2 thumbs up. So my verdicts on my review on the website was: Dune is one of the biggest and most ambitious blockbuster spectacles committed to film yet. The size and scope is truly epic, with Villeneuve building on his previous sci-fi entries for a true cinematic experience. I give this 5 stars. I can completely understand if people... would not, for obvious reasons, as we've discussed. Yes, at times I did feel a little bit disconnected and a bit cold to the characters, but just the, as we said, size and scope is just amazing. So, yes, what about you, Chris?
Agree, I think if it were any other movie, some of the kind of like the hopeless vibe that comes into the movie might have dissuaded me from it, put me off. But... yeah, I was just absolutely blown away by this movie, and everything about it is just so epic and awesome. And yeah, I will say, like, I love sci-fi.
Yeah.
And
kind of helps, right?
Yeah, the Chosen One storyline is something that I really connect to as well.
Okay.
So it's definitely very much my kind of movie.
Matrix in space with deserts and spice.
Can't really go wrong for me. If you don't love those things, you'll probably struggle with this. So just be aware of that going in. Yeah, I would also say this movie is objectively incredible. So, like, whether you like it or not, it's an amazing movie. So, yeah, 2 thumbs up from me.
Yes. I just hope it makes enough money because obviously yeah, they spent a lot get the next of movie. Money on it. We have to get it. Yeah. Where they left it, I was like, no, don't stop.
Because apparently it hasn't been, like, actually confirmed
no,
yet.
No.
Like, they know that they went into it as a 2-movie thing, but they haven't actually necessarily agreed to the second movie. So. Make some noise, guys. Make sure that send them an email or something. I don't know.
Maybe go and see it.
Yeah. Money speaks, right? Go see it. See it twice. 3 times. So, yeah, I would encourage everyone to see it. I mean, it's amazing. So
I would caveat that with what I said at the beginning. If you don't like Arrival, if you don't like Blade Runner 2049, this will not be for you. As I was talking to a lady at London Film Festival. He doesn't like sci-fi and was like, should I see this? I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's true. There's probably some triggering things in there as well. So if there's certain themes that trigger you in some way, maybe you should research that before you go see it. But yes, I think it's amazing. So.
Okay, would recommend. So thank you so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Do let us know if you see Dune and what do you think of it. And is it
What do you
thunk of it?
Love it.
Is it Dune or Dune?
Is it Dune or Dune?
Help us settle this argument. So if you do want to get in contact with us, how do they go about doing that, Chris?
Right, we're on Instagram and Facebook at We Have a Hulk Pod. We're probably most active on Twitter at We Have a Hulk. And if you want to read some of Nicola's wonderful writings, you can head over to wehaveahulk.co.uk, where we have TV and movie news, reviews, features, all of the things. And we also have a shop on wehaveahulk.co.uk/shop. If you want to support us by a t-shirt or something, you can do that.
And some pins and stuff.
Yeah.
So plenty of films coming out. We probably won't settle on anything now, but some of the big ones, obviously Last Night in Soho. Antlers seems like an interesting horror. I think this is Del Toro, which is very intriguing, which I'll definitely check out. Dear Evan Hansen is coming out, which has been heavily criticised in America, so I'm very intrigued to see this. Also, 5th of November, we've got Eternals, which is a biggie. I can't believe it's crept up that fast. And people in America, actual critics, have spoiled this. The post-credit scenes. Have you not heard of this debacle today?
No.
They're all over Twitter. I've thankfully managed to dodge it, but by the time this comes out, it probably
won't. I did see a headline about Midnight Mass that was very specific about what was going on with that.
Yeah, well, the thing was...
people put that stuff in headlines.
Yeah, 2 critics spoiled it, and then other people jumped on the bandwagon.
I figure if it's spoiled, they might as well jump
on. Yeah, and they were doing articles about the people spoiling it, and I'm like, wait.
Yeah, terrible.
But other than that, there is another biggie called Ghostbusters Afterlife coming in 19th of November. So plenty of things coming up to look forward to.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so I think we're going to be leaving it there because I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
Bake up soon. Okay, so thank you so much for listening once again and hope to see you next time.
Bye.